All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let us begin. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph 21, and we are picking up on Chaf Amud Beis 20b. We're going to start with the daf today, then the Meretz Hashem, do a little bit of the parasha, begin davening just a few minutes early, so that we could, the Meretz Hashem, still continue to get to Nate. So I will say just a thank you to our sponsors, to our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nissan, to Frank and Debbie Spector, for deep gratitude to the entire Kehila, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating the Shiurim this month in memory of Paul's father, Shmuel ben Zachariah, his mother, Sarah Bas Avram, and great-grandmother, Cyril Bas Reb Dov. The Week of Learning, dedicated by Jack Bennett in memory of Captain Doron Barshai, who served and died as deputy commander and the 51st Battalion of the Golani Brigade, and the Week of Learning dedicated by Mordechai and Malki Tusk in honor of Brian's marriage to Ari Nirenberg on Tuesday. In the merit of our learning, may we be showered with Sheva Brachas and many Brachas and may the Esm Shanim Tovos. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the Chasen and Kala a life of incredible Simcha. So we'll say with that, we continue in the exciting parak of Bamem Avligin, an incredible daf ahead of us today. So we are picking up, like I said, today's daf is Chaf Aleph 21, but we are picking up on Chaf Amud Beis 20b. We are picking up Velo Bipsilas Hamidbar, which is 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom, last couple of orders on the lines. Remember again, we're going through now the various items that the Mishnah said cannot be used as a wick. And we explained that all of the items here mentioned for non-use as wicks are because they do not draw the oil well. So the concern is that if you go ahead and you come to use them, you're going to end up tilting the oil towards the wick, which is actually a form of havara, which is actually a form of kindling. So it says the Gemara, velo b'psilas amidbar, you can't use psilas amidbar. So the Gemara says, shavra. So Rashi points out over here that this is some type of tall grass that technically you could go ahead and make into a wick, but you're still not allowed to use it. So this literally means, and not with the green substance that floats on top of the water. So it says the Gemara, Maihi, what is this referring to? Ilemo kamta dechariti. So if you want to say that it's like algae, if you want to say it's algae, the green stuff that floats on the top of the water, can't be, because efruchi mifrichon. Ultimately, again, that goes ahead and crumbles. When you take that, so that crumbles. That crumbles in your hand. Rather, again, it's referring to like the green mossy-like substance that accumulates on the bottom of ships. So that, I guess, technically speaking, you could scrape that off, make it into a wick, and technically it could be used. So Halacha L'maaseh, the Mishnah says you can't use it because it does not conduct the oil well. Tana, Hosif Alein, in addition to the items mentioned in the Mishnah that cannot be used for wicks, there were a couple of other things added. Hosif Alein, Shel Tzemer, you can't use wool, Vishel Ser, or hair. V'tana didan, semer michvatz kavitz, ser ichruche michrach. Our Tana didn't feel the need to include it because it's kind of obvious. You can't go ahead and use wool because when you burn wool, it contracts. So obviously it can't serve as a wick. And you can't go ahead and use hair because hair burns. Hair just simply singes. And therefore, there's nothing really else to discuss. V'lo b'zefes, nor can you go ahead and use pitch. And I remember at this point in time, the Mishnah transitions from a conversation regarding wicks to now a conversation regarding oils. V'lo b'zefes, so the Gemara says, Zefes is zifsa. It refers to pitch. Shaiva, kirusa. And Shaiva is wax. Tana, ad kan psilos. Up until this point in time, the Mishnah was talking about those things which cannot be used as wicks. Mikan ve'elech psul shmanim. But from this point forward, ultimately we're discussing the invalidations concerning oils. So the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why we have to mention this. Shaiva et shrichale. We have to mention this dafka by wax. Why? So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema, lepsilos nami lo chazio. So you might have thought that again, that ultimately wax is not only problematic in terms of being used as an oil, but perhaps cannot be used as wicks. Kamashmalano, that is not the case. So the Gemara says, Amrei bar Avin, itarna psulta dezivsa, shaiva psulta deduvsha. So Rabbi Aaron bar Avin says as follows. He says this thing called itrana, itran. Itran is the leftover part of the zefes of pitch, and shaiva, the wax that is discussed over here, is the leftover from honey. Leftover from honey. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Top of Chaf Aleph, Lamai Nafkamina." I mean, who cares? What? It's an interesting fact, but what does it matter? To which the Gemara says, "Lamekachu Memkar." It matters ultimately, again, for business purposes, that if somebody goes ahead and says, "I'd like to go ahead and purchase wax," just understand that what he's referring to is the residual leftover from the honey. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. So we'll see. Here we go. Kolelu Sha'amru. All of these items that we mentioned cannot be used for kindling purposes on Shabbos. Aval osin mehen medura bein lischamim kinegdo bein lishtamish laura. But which so is very interesting. All of these items that we mentioned in the Mishnah that you can't use to kindle with. Sahaloch lamaisi, you can't light a candle with it. But what you can do is. What you can do is use it for a bonfire. So we'll say, what's the chilik between a bonfire and a candle? Take a look at Rashi. Aval ose memedura hesek godol she'echad mavir chadero. So we'll say, remember again, the issue that's at play over here is when you use these particular items for wicks, the concern is that the individual wick does not go ahead and draw the oil appropriately. But halacha lemaisa, when you have a bonfire, so therefore again, you have a bunch of things together, they automatically ignite one another. So that moment that they automatically ignite one another, the concern of shemayata, that you may come to go ahead and tilt the candle, doesn't really apply. So the Gemara says as follows. So ava osme medura, and this is true whether you're making the medura, whether you're making the bonfire to go ahead and warm yourself by it, or whether you're making the bonfire to go ahead and use the light, it doesn't really matter. Whether you're kindling this quote-unquote bonfire on karka, on land, or if you're doing it on top of a stove. So we'll say, again, this is just an interesting application. So what the Gemara is saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, it's not the pshat that the items mentioned in the Mishnah aren't flammable, right? So it's not the pshat that the items mentioned for, that you can't use for a wick aren't flammable. Chas v'shalom. But they're flammable. The concern is they don't draw the flame well. So because they don't draw the flame well, that's the concern that on Shabbos, you'll come to tilt the oil. Remember, again, they had oil in a receptacle. The flame was coming out, the wick was coming out of the lip of the receptacle. If the oil is not catching well, you may come to tilt more oil towards the wick. That's the concern. If you do that, that's havara. That's an act of kindling. So all the Gemara is saying over here is that only applies when you're using these wicks kind of individually. But if you were to place them all together to create a bonfire, then by definition, one ignites the other, and there's no problem. Beautiful. The lo b'shemen kik. You can't use shemen kik, kik oil. My shemen kik. No, so what is shemen kik? Amar Shmuel, sha'altinu l'chon l'chuseyama. You know, I've asked the sailors. I've asked this, why is he asking sailors? Because at the end of the day, sailors get to a lot of places, so they had no idea what this meant in their vernacular. But maybe sailors, maybe you had come across shemen kik somewhere in your travels. So va'amruli of echad yish bekrachi hayom bekik shmo, and they told me that there is a particular bird in the islands overseas, and its name is kik. It's a kik bird. So apparently shemen kik is oil which comes, it's bird oil, it's animal oil, but it's oil that dafka comes from the kik bird. Okay. Rav Yitzchak b'Rei Rav Yehuda Amar, Mishcha de Kaza. So he holds, Rav Yitzchak says, it's Mishcha de Kaza. What's Mishcha de Kaza? Rashi says, Mishcha de Kaza, Shemen she'osin migar inei tzemer gefen, shekorin cotton. Very interesting. Cotton seed oil. Cotton seed oil. Shemen cake is cotton seed oil. Fascinating. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish Amar ki kayon diyona. Wow. Rish Lakish says that this is oil made out of kikayon di yona. So we'll say, what's the kikayon of yona? If you remember again, at the end of Sefer Yona, after Nineveh does tshuva, Yona is very upset. Yona is very upset. Why is he upset? Oh, Yona understands that the tshuva of Nineveh represents the downfall of Am Yisrael. So Yona is upset. So he goes ahead and he waits outside the city, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and causes a kikayon, this tree, to go ahead and grow and give him shade. Now, subsequently, Kikayon dies, and Yona experiences incredible personal trauma with this entire situation. But Lemaisa, the Gemara says, is that Shemen Kik is oil that comes from the Kikayon tree, and it's known as the Kikayon de Yona. I once saw this Kikayon de Yona, and it was comparable to a Tzluliva. Okay, so tzliva, I guess, is another type of tree. So because comparable to the tzliva, so now we'll say Rabbi Bar Bachana describes the qualities of this tree. So quality number one, or aspect number one, is that ultimately it went ahead and it looked like a tzliva. Okay, u midepashki Rabbi, look at Rashi, batzei hamayim hu gadol. It grows by marshes. It grows by marshes in marshy area. Via pum chanusa midlon yose, Rashi says, apumachanus madlinoson letzel lere ulrechtov. People would often plant this tree by the entranceways of stores in order to go ahead and provide shade and also to provide a good scent, a good smell. So the Gemara says, umi partziduhi avdi mishcha. And ultimately, from its seeds, you're able to go ahead and make oil. And underneath its branches, underneath its shade, all of the sick of Eretz Yisrael come to rest. So apparently, again, we're just saying the qualities of the Kikayon de Yona. But amazingly enough, this last one is quite dramatic. Just as Yona found refuge under the Kikayon, so to the sick of Eretz Yisrael also find refuge under the Kikayon. I will say, just on a deeper, you know, almost on a Hashkafic level, that Kikayon Diona, that Kikayon represented Hashkachas Hashem, it represented divine providence. Yona's waiting outside of the city, the Kikayon sprouts up, miraculously sprouts up, and provides him with shade. That was a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always with him, that no matter what was going to happen, at the end of the day, the Ribono Shel Olam was always there. So it's an amazing thing, the Gemara says, where do the sick of Am Yisrael or of Eretz Yisrael go to find relief? Under the Kikayon de Yona. They will say, where do you find relief from the ailments and from the ails and from the challenges of life? Underneath the shade of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me every step of the way, if I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never leaves me alone, if I believe that Ribono Shel Olam always allows his shade of providence to cover me, then by definition I could heal myself from anything that ails me. Incredible Gemara. Amar Rabba. So Rabbi said, Psilos sha'amru chachamim in madlikin ba'am b'shabis, mipnei sha'or mikaskeses bohem. So Rabbi says, the wicks that the Mishnah said you cannot use on Shabbos, that's because literally it means that the flame flickers. Mekaskeses means, Rashi says, like the blade of a knife. Just like the blade of a knife goes up, the teeth, up, down, up, down, up, down. So too the flame flickers. That's the concern. And because the flame flickers, therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can't use these wicks. Shemanim sharon chachamim eimah lekimem. Similarly, the oils that the rabbis said you cannot use on Shabbos, mepnei she'ein limshachin achar hapsila, because they are not drawn after the wick. They're not drawn after the wick. They don't catch well. Boimini abai mirava. So we'll say, so therefore, based on this, Abai asked an interesting shayla of Rava. Now, what was the shayla? So watch this. Shmagim sh'amru chachamim in madlikin ba'im b'shabbos. So now we have these oils that you cannot use on Shabbos. Okay, so we've said you can't use these oils on Shabbos. Ma'u she'yitin l'sochan shemen kol shehu. So we have the following question. So we'll say, let's take any one of the oils from the Mishnah on Shabbos that you're not allowed to use. What happens if I take shemen kik? Not allowed to use shemen kik. What happens if I pour in some olive oil to my shemen kik? Does the fact that I introduced olive oil into the shemen kik now render this a proper substance for kindling purposes for Shabbos? So are we concerned that if we let you use these illegal oils at all, even with olive oil, let's say mixed in, that you may come to inadvertently use them without mixing olive oil in? Oh no. Or do we say no? The only time that these oils in the Mishnah are prohibited are when they're by themselves. But if you introduce some olive oil into it, or some other permitted oil into it, it's not a problem. To which the Gemara says, Amar lei, ein madligin. Who says, a great Gemara. So he said to him, no, you're not allowed to use them. Even if you mix in olive oil, you still can't use these olive oils. I, my time, lefi she'ein madligin. This is great. Right? Why can't you do it? Because it said you can't do it. Right? At the end of the day, Rav Zavos says, so what does this mean on a deeper level? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, it's very simple that when Chazal legislated that you can't use these particular oils, what they legislated was you can't use these oils under any circumstances. That's it. There's no, which makes sense. Remember, again, the moment you start saying, well, you can't use it if you mix it in with oil, or you can't use it by itself. But if you mix it in with oil, it's okay. Well, how much oil do you have to mix in? Right? V'chule, v'chule. So that already gets complicated. So therefore, Chazal just said you can't use these oils. Whether you're using them by themselves, mixing in olive oil, you can't use it. The Gemara says, Eisei, one second, Gemara is Akasha. Karach davar she madligin bo. Agabe davar she ein madligin bo. Ein madligin bo. We'll say, watch this. Let's say, follow this for just a moment and you'll see the illustration. Let's say you go ahead and you wrapped something that is a shemadlikin bo. We're talking now, but we're transitioning now just for a moment about wicks. So let's say you take a wick, one of the wicks that cannot be used. You take a wick that can't be used, but you wrap it in a wick that can be used. You wrap it in a wick that can be used. So can that be used on Shabbos? So the Mishnah says no. If you wrap a proper wick around an improper wick, you still can't go ahead and use that on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Liel says, Shabbos Abba, in my father's home, hayu karchin psila agabe egos umadlikin. Well, you know, in my father's home, what they used to do is they used to wrap a wick around the walnut, and we went ahead, or around the nut, and we went ahead and we used that on Shabbos. So we'll say, so one second, the Gemara says, Katani mihas madligin. So we'll say, you see from here that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you can wrap, we'll call it a proper wick, around an improper wick, and use that to kindle on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. Amar lei, ademosivas li mid Rav Shimon Gamliel, sayin hu mitanakama. Why are you deciding conclusive halacha based on Rav Shimon Gamliel? I could just as easily bring you a ride from the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama says you can't do this. Okay, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can do that, but just because Rav Shimon Gamliel said it doesn't mean it's correct. To which the Gemara says, no. Halo Kasha, this is not a contradiction. Maisa Rav. I will say, it's actually very interesting. In general, in Gemara, when you have a statement of halacha versus a story which actually supports a particular practice, the story itself is actually a bit more powerful. To see the implementation of halacha is stronger than simply the articulation of halacha. So the fact that Rav Shimon Gamliel is telling us this is what we did in my father's home, that's very powerful. To which the Gemara says, but rather there's something else going on over here. So the Gemara says, Kasha, my love lahatlik. So Rav Shimon Gamliel's house, what are they doing? It sounds like they're wrapping a proper wick around an improper wick, and they're kindling both. To which the Gemara says, no. Lahakfos. They actually will say, the reason in Rav Shimon Gamliel's home, the reason why they wrapped a proper wick around the nut was not to burn the nut, but rather it was there what? The nut, the walnut, was a flotation mechanism. They would put the wicks in the oil. But we'll see, you know, what's the problem when you put wicks in oil? Anyone who's ever tried near Hanukkah, like if you ever had like that moment of inspiration, you say, I want to be old school. I want to go back and do the wicks myself. So, you know, it takes triple the amount of time because usually the first 2 wicks end up sinking in the oil. They tied the wick around the walnut so that the walnut was to float. To float, it was a floating wick, to which the, not to burn it, but to float, to which the Gemara says, Ila hakvos, my time of the Tanakamo. So if that's it, if the wick was tied around the walnut, as and the walnut was to float, and not as another wick, then ultimately, why would the Tanakama have a problem with that? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Kul Reb Shem Gamliel. In fact, the entire brisa we mentioned really all reflects the Reb Shem Gamliel. There is something missing from the Mishnah, and here is how it, from the brisa, and here is how it has to be read. Here we go. Karach davar shemadlikin bo, agavi davar shemadlikin bo. If you wrap a wick, a proper wick, around an improper wick, in madlikin bo, that is illegal. You're not allowed to do that. You can't kindle a wick that's a proper wick wrapped around an improper wick. When is that so? Lahadlik. That's only so when your intention is to kindle both wicks. If your intention is to go ahead and use both wicks for kindling purposes, then you cannot wrap a proper wick around an improper wick. Avol, lahakfos mutar. But if your intention is to go ahead and wrap the proper wick around the substance that is normally an improper wick, but you're not using the improper wick as a wick, but instead you're using it to allow the proper wick to float in the oil, that's totally fine. How do we know this? Because ultimately, again, Reb Shem Gamliel says, my father's home, they used to wrap the wick around the walnut in order to allow the wick to float. So you see from here that halacha lemaisa, you as much as you can't wrap a proper wick around an improper wick for kindling purposes, but you can wrap a proper wick around an improper wick if the improper wick is used being used as a flotation device and not as a wick. Incredible. Ini, is that so? Vamrav Hun Rav Huna said, Avahamrav Barona Amrav Chelev Muhusach. So we'll say if you have chilev muhusach, means melted chilev, melted fat. So if you have melted fat, right, or kirvei dagim shenamuchu means fish kishkas, right, the insides of fish that also have liquefied. So what's talacha? No sin l'socho shem in kol shu madlik. You can go ahead and put any amount of oil into this, and you could go ahead and kindle with it. That I will say, now what's interesting about this is we normally assume that liquefied chelev, liquefied fat, or fish kishkas, fish insides, cannot be used for kindling purposes, are not a proper oil. Yet you see from here that apparently if you go out and you take these items and you just introduce a little bit of oil, that it's going to be totally fine. To which the Gemara says, Hani mimshichi ba'anayu, v'hani lo mimshichi ba'anayu. So we'll see, in reality, so melted fat and melted fish insides are really okay. Technically speaking, they're really okay. They're actually good oils that flow into the wick well. So what's the problem? We'll say first wide line chaf aleph amadal. First wide line 21a. The gazur rabbanan al chelav mohusach mishum chelav she'ena mohusach val kirvei dogim shena mochu mishum kirvei dogim shlona mochu. So what's very interesting? So in reality, melted chelav, melted fat, and melted fish insides are really good oils. But what's not? Solid fat, solid chelev, and solid fish insides are not good oils. In other words, they could burn, but they don't really, they don't flow well into the wick. So the rabbis came along and said, that's what? So halacha lemaisa, you can't use solid chelev, and you can't use solid fish insides. So, but technically, you can use liquefied chelev and liquefied fish insides. But what did Chazal say? But Chazal said, no, we don't want you using even liquefied chelev and liquefied fish insides, lest you come to use solid chelev and solid fish insides. But if you mix in a little bit of oil to the liquefied chelev and the liquefied kirvei dogim, then that's going to be okay. I veligzor nami chelav mehusach v'kirvei dagim shalamochu shenasal nesochu shemen mishum chelav mehusach v'kirvei dagim shalamochu shenasal nesochu shemen. I don't understand, but why don't I say that? Therefore, again, even liquefied chelav and liquefied kirvei dagim, even if you mixed in oil, should be aser, lest you come to use liquefied chaylev and liquefied kirvei dagim into which you didn't mix oil. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. To which the Gemara says, he gufa gzeira va'ananekam v'negzera. So remember again, that's already a gzeira. Should we add it on another level? And also remember again, follow the progression here. The halacha is, you can't use solid chaylev or solid fish insides, solid fat or solid fish insides. They don't burn well. Chazal came along and said, therefore, you also can't use liquefied chaylev or liquefied kirvei dagim, lest you come to use the solid form. But if you go ahead and you mix in oil into the liquefied forms, it's okay. So the Gemara says, 1 second, why don't you say that you shouldn't be able to use them in the liquefied form, even if you introduced oil, lest you come to use it in the liquefied form without oil? To which the Gemara essentially says, the prohibition to use it in the liquefied form is already a gezeira. Really, me'ikra din, it's totally fine. That is a gezeira, that is a decree, an additional rabbinic enactment. To add on another layer of rabbinic law on top of that layer of rabbinic law doesn't make any sense. Good. Tani Rai Bar Chama, psilos ushmanim, shonu chacham imalikim amishabbis, the wicks and the oils that the rabbi said you can't use on Shabbos, ein madlikin bahen b'mikdash. This is incredible. You cannot use them in the Beis HaMikdash. So I'll say, so presumably what we're discussing over here when we say that you can't use it in the Beis HaMikdash is for the menorah. So anything you can't use on Shabbos, anything you can't use on Shabbos, you also can't use in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, why is that? Mishum shenemar laha'alos ner tamid. Because the Pasuk says it has to be an eternal light. Hu tanila vu amrala kedei shetei shalheves ola me'eleha. Ultimately, what does it teach me? It teaches me that halacha lemaisa, the fire of the menorah must be a self-kindling flame. What that means is it has to be something that doesn't flicker. So remember again, what's the problem with all of the wicks and all of the items mentioned in the Mishnah? They flicker. They might burn, but they flicker. So lahalos ner tamid teaches me that halacha lemaisa, anything used in the Beis HaMikdash must produce a constant, non-flickering flame. To which the Gemara says, good, it has to burn by itself and it can't require the assistance of anything else. So Tanan, but 1 second, Mivloi michnesei kohanim umehemineihem hayumafkiyem mehen. But this is very interesting. What would they do with the worn out pants of the Kohanim and the worn out belts? They would tear it up into strips and they would use that ultimately for wicks. Then Rabbi said, now what's the problem? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, so the idea over here is, so remember, you can't use wool. We pointed out before on the end of Amud Beis, on Chaf Amud Beis, you can't use wool as a wick, right? Because the wool doesn't burn well. Yet the Big Day Kohanim were made out of wool, right? So halacha lemaisa, how are they able to go ahead and tear up the old clothing and use it as wicks? To which the Gemara says, no. Simchas Beis HaShoev HaShayni. We'll say, when it says that they would use the worn out clothing for the Kohanim as wicks, that wasn't for the menorah. That was for Simchas Beis HaShoev, the incredible celebration over Sukkis, where everyone would assemble in the Beis HaMikdash. So there they would light torches. That's not a biblical obligation to do that. And therefore, again, you could pretty much use anything you want. You could use anything you want, ultimately, again, for kindling purposes. So the Gemara says, Tashma Tani Rabbi Masna, Big Dei Kuna Shabbala Mafkin Osem, Mehenayu Osem, Psilos LaMikdash. So we'll say so again. But yeah, we have another brisa that says, sounds like they really did make the wicks out of the worn out clothing of the Kohanim. My love the Kilayim. Are we not talking about the clothing that had wool in it? Kilayim means it was sharpness, but it had wool in it, so it had wool. So they were using wool wicks, right? Made out of worn out big Kohanic begotten, to which they honest lo debuts. No, actually it's referring to the clothing made out of linen. The linen clothing. That's what they would go ahead and use for wicks in the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so apparently what the Gemara is teaching us is two things. Number one, for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, they would go ahead and make wicks out of the Kohanim, out of the big day kuhuna, the worn out pants and belts of the Kohanim. The truth is, no one really cares what those wicks are made out of, because the obligation to have a constant and consistent fire, and therefore a proper wick, is a din in the menorah, the obligatory kindling, not a din in Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But apparently for the menorah, they would use the worn out linen clothing of the Kohanim, because linen can be a proper wick, so that apparently they would use ultimately for the menorah. Beautiful. We'll say, here we go now. I want to tell you something very, very exciting. We're about to get into the sugyas of Chanukah. The sugyas of Chanukah are found in the next two datum. And Rabosa, I think it's incredibly auspicious. Here we are, think about this just a moment. Here we are in Nisan, which is a month of incredible revealed miracles, and we're now going into the sugya of Chanukah. And Chanukah, to a certain degree, is a different kind of miracle. Chanukah is a Nes Nistar. Although the Pach Shem and the miracle of the oil was 8 days, which we're actually going to discuss, it was a miracle that took place inside of the Beis HaMikdash, not in public. The military victory, again, was miraculous, but it wasn't the splitting of the sea. So right now, in this moment, we're living in two worlds. The world of Nisim Niglum, the revealed miracles, and the world of hidden miracles. All of that now. And what more do we need? We need revealed miracles. We need hidden miracles. Also, you know, when you learn something, it's not just that your mind is ingesting it. Whatever you learn, you live. So therefore, when you learn Chanukah, it's almost as if you're celebrating. We're now in Chanukah. So when else do you have an opportunity to celebrate Chanukah in Chodesh Nisan? Unheard of. Until today. So here we go, Bosei. So the Gemara says, Amrav Huna, Psilas Vishwanim Sha'amru Chachamim, Eim Malikim Eim Shabbos, Eim Malikim Eim Chanukah, Beim Shabbos Bein Mechol. Rav Huna said that the wicks and the oil that the rabbi said you can't use on Shabbos, you also can't use on Chanukah. And you can't use on Chanukah during the weekdays of Chanukah, as well as on Shabbos of Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Amrav Amai Taima. So Rav says, no, why is that? Why is that? So the Gemara is my time. Amar Rava, my time. The Rav Huna Kasavar Kavsa Zakukla. Bosa is incredible, because the one Rav Huna holds that if the Ner Chanukah goes out, you are obligated to relight it. Umutra Deshtamish Laora, and you are permitted to use the light of the Ner Chanukah. Now, Bosa, now watch this. Because Rav Huna holds of these things, therefore, because he holds Kavsa Zakukla, so therefore, what we're concerned about is, which means if the Chanukah candles go out, you must relight it. If you use wicks or oil that don't conduct the light, that don't conduct the fire well, that don't burn well, then Lemaisa, what's the concern? That they'll go out. Well, if it goes out, you're obligated to relight it. We're concerned that you may be negligent and not relight it. Therefore, again, Rav Huna says, you could only use for Chanukah that which you could use for Shabbos. Furthermore, Rav Huna says that you're permitted to go ahead and use the light. If you're permitted to go ahead and use the light, then on Shabbos that's problematic, because we're concerned that for the Ner Chanukah, if you're allowed to use the light, you may come to adjust it on Shabbos. Therefore, Rav Huna says, halacha lamaisa, anything that can't be used on Shabbos can't be used on Chanukah. But Rav Chista says, no, madlikin b'han b'chol, it's not true. You could use any oil you want during the week, but you can't. But on Shabbos Chanukah is governed by the same laws of regular Shabbos. Whatever you could use for Shabbos candles, you could use for the menorah on Shabbos candle. Why is that? So number one, Kasavar, Kavsa on days. Kasavar, Kavsa in Zakukla. So number one, he holds that if the menorah goes out, you are not obligated to relight it. So therefore, we're not concerned. So therefore, during the week, you can pretty much use any oil you want. Because we're not, what's going to happen? What's the worst case scenario? It goes out. If it goes out, you're not obligated to relight it anyway. However, but he holds again that you are permitted to use the light of the menorah, get benefit from it. So because of that, on Shabbos Chanukah, because you're permitted to get benefit from the light of the menorah, we are concerned that if that flame flickers, you may come to adjust it on Shabbos, which again is an Isser D'oraisa. So therefore, again, so this second position of Rav Chista says that during the week you could use whatever oil you want, but on Shabbos Chanukah, for Chanukah candles, you must use the same types of oils as you would for a normal Shabbos. Here we go. Psilos Ushmanu Shamru Chachamim Ein Malikim Mem Shabbos Malikim Mem Chanukah. We'll say a third opinion. Rav Zera in the name of Rav. So Rav says, no, not true. Even the wicks and the oils that you can't use for Shabbos, you are absolutely unequivocally permitted to use on Chanukah, Bein Bechol, Bein B'Shabbos. And you can use it during the week and on Shabbos. What's the reason? Am Rabbi Yerbiya Mai Taima, the Rav Kasavar, Kavsa in Zakogla, Va'asra Lehishtamish La'ora. Because Rav holds number one, Kavsa in Zakogla, which means if the fire, if the menorah is extinguished, you are not obligated to relight it. And furthermore, you are prohibited from going ahead and using the light. Rabbi says, so watch this. And this is, by the way, how we paskin halacha lemaisa, that for Ner Chanukah, you can pretty much use anything that can be kindled. Even if it doesn't burn very well, it has to have the capacity to burn. If you use something that can't really remain lit, then that's of course not good. But remember, the items in the Mishnah that are mentioned that are prohibited for use on Shabbos, this is not a flammability issue. This is a sustainability issue, right? They're flammable. Everything's flammable. They flicker. They flicker. And the concern is, and not even more concerned they're going to extinguish, the flickering is the concern that I want a consistent source of light. So on Shabbos, I may come to adjust it. So now Rav says, on Chanukah, this is not a problem. Number one, because halacha l'maisa, as long as you lit something that has the capacity to remain lit, if it goes out, you are not obligated to relight it. That is halacha l'maisa. Furthermore, you are not permitted to get benefit from the Ner Chanukah. So because you're not permitted to get benefit from the Ner Chanukah, on Shabbos, there's no concern that you may come to adjust the light because you're not permitted to get benefit. They're both like, contrast this with Ner Shabbos. Ner Shabbos, you have to get benefits from. That's the idea. You're supposed to get benefit from the Ner Shabbos. So therefore, I will say, Rav Paskins, that whereas on Shabbos, I have limitations on wicks and on oils. Namely, it can't be anything that flicker. That does not apply in Chanukah. Chanukah, you can light with anything that is flammable because halacha l'maaseh, even if it ends up going out, you're not obligated to relight it. And furthermore, we're not worried on Shabbos that you may come to adjust it because the Ner Chanukah itself is precluded from any kind of use. Incredible. And I will say, and that is halacha l'maaseh. Because the interesting story. So the rabbis gave this over to Abaye, but they quoted this ruling. They quoted this ruling of Rav in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Abaye wouldn't accept it. V'lo kibla. Ki asa Rabin, when Rabin came before Abaye, Amruha Rabbanon kamei da Abaye, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. So then they ended up saying it over to Abaye later on. And Rabbi Yochanan, the kibla. And Rabbi Yochanan accepted it. So apparently Rabbi Yochanan accepted it in the name of, Abaye accepted the name of Rabbi Yochanan, but he didn't accept it in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rashi says, V'lo kibla shelo chashvu lismach al dvarav, meaning Abaye did not feel that Rabbi Yirmiyah was someone to be relied on in this situation, but that when they told it to him over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he felt Rabbi Yochanan was someone to be someich on. Amar and Abaye said, Izakai gamirte l'shmaita meikara, if only I would have been privileged to learn this approach first. You'll see what that means in just a moment. I have a hagamra. So I said to my, what does it matter? In other words, you learned it now. What does it matter if this was your first approach, your second approach, your third approach? Let's listen to this. Nafkamina legirsa dianuksa. It matters, Rabbi say, why? Because anything you learn when you're younger, you retain much more than that which you learn when you're older. Sabai essentially says, oh, had I only learned this when I was younger, I'm happy I learned it now, but had I learned it when I was younger, how much happier I would have been. Which I will say, such an incredible yisod, which is also the need just to maximize our time, because we could learn, of course, throughout our entire lives, but we also know the older we get, sometimes the more complicated it becomes, especially alt retention. That's why everybody here is very young, Baruch Hashem. While we're still young, it's kedai to go ahead and maximize our learning time. Because what we learn when we are young are the things ultimately, again, that we have the greatest probability of retaining. The Kav Sein Zakukla. So the Gemara says, one second. Well, see, these are very, very, this is why even though I know I've been bombarding the WhatsApp chat, but I felt compelled to add in this additional line last night that it's incredible Gemara. Rabbi will say, this is all Hilchos Chanukah. It's almost Elul. And if it's almost Elul, it means it's almost Yamim Noraim. And if it's almost Yom Noraim, it means it's almost Chanukah. So this is Mamish in Yonei Diyoma. Thank you. You're welcome. So Gemara says, the Kaf Sein Zakukas. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, is that true? That if the menorah is extinguished, You're not obligated to relight it. So the Gemara says, "Remini mitzvasim ishet eshagach hama achetich laregem and ashok." The Rebbe say, "What's when do you light? When do I have to light near Chanukah? From the time that the sun sets, although it really means nightfall, much more than shkia. From the time that it, right, what we'll call it, from nightfall until people stop walking around in the marketplace." My love, di kafsa hadr madligla. So we'll say the Gemara is assuming that. What does that mean? The Gemara is assuming at first that that's a shear. That's an amount of time. It must remain lit from sunset, from, we'll call it, from nightfall, until there's no more pedestrian traffic in the shuk. And therefore, if it were to go out sometime in that range, halacha lemaisa, you would have to relight it. So that seems to indicate that kafsa zakokla. If it's extinguished, you are obligated to relight it. To which the Gemara says, no, lo, di'ilo adlik madlik v'inami l'shiure. Supposedly, to which the Gemara says, no, that's not true. What it means is that that's the amount of time in which you have the ability to fulfill the mitzvah. So as long as you're kindling the menorah in that time frame, you're yotzi the mitzvah between nightfall and the time that people stop walking around the shuk. The other possibility is that that's telling me how much oil I have to put in my menorah. Enough oil to remain lit from nightfall until people stop traveling around in the shuk. But Rabbi says, but halacha lemaisa, we pass in kafsa in zakukla. If your menorah goes out, you are not obligated to relight it. So the Gemara says, achetich laregel min hashuk. So what does it mean that the menorah could remain lit until no one's walking around in the marketplace? Va'ad kama. So what does that mean? What time is that? People aren't walking around in the shuk. Until the Talmudim stop walking around in the marketplace. Who are the Talmudim? Rashi says, Rigla the Talmudim, Shem Uma, they're a particular nation, Melakte Itzim Dakim. And what they would do is, at the end of the day, they would go and collect twigs from the marketplace. Umis Akvin Bashok Achaochim Bene Ashok Labateim, Mishecha Shecha, Umavim Bateim Or, Kushinitzrachana Itzim Yotzim Konamehen. So the Talmudim apparently were the last people left in the marketplace. They would gather up the small little pieces of wood, they would use it to ignite fires in their home. And also, if you ran out of wood during the day, at night, and needed some last minute wood, you would go and you would find your local Talmudim. So the idea is that the Talmudim were the last people in the marketplace. So we'll say, and that's how you pass in halacha lemaisa, that ultimately, see, we have a different application of this, which is for us, that you could essentially kindle the menorah from nightfall, that's when you begin the mitzvah, and it goes up until the point that there are people on the outside. So technically speaking, if there's no one on the outside, you don't light menorah. Now the truth is, we'll see, for us, the mitzvah of menorah has fundamentally evolved, but technically speaking, that is the halacha. Tan Rabbanan, here we go. Mitzvah Chanukah, it's incredible Gemara, Ner Ishu Beso. So we'll say that the Ikar Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is one candle per household. One candle per household. That's all you're obligated to do, is light one candle per household. V'amahadrin, if you want to do a little bit better, Ner L'chol Echad V'echad. Every person in the household lights one candle. Rabbi said, but that's one candle every night. So one candle on day one, and one candle on day four, and one candle on day eight. One candle every night for every person. V'amahadrin in a mahadrin. So I'll say, what's the mahadrin in a mahadrin? Beishamai omrim yorishon madlik shmona. So Beishamai says, on the first night you light eight. Mikan ve'elich poches v'holech. And on every subsequent night you remove a candle. So Beishamai says, you start with eight and work your way down to one. Ubeisilo omrim yorishon madlik achos. Beisilo says, on the first night you light one candle. Mikan ve'elich mosiv v'holech. And each night you add on a subsequent candle. And then I will say, I'll just point out to you something really fascinating. If you take a quick look at Tosis, V'amahadrim and Amahadrim, Nir Luri, to Beisham Beisilo, Kaimi Ela Aner Ishu Beiso, Shekin Yesh Yoser Hidr De Iker Akira. We'll say, now watch this. There's a fundamental machlokes, Tosis and the Rambam, about Mahadrim and Amahadrim. Tosis says that Mahadrim and Amahadrim is, there's one menorah in the house. One menorah, only one. It's just that menorah, again, adds on, according to Beis Shammai, starts with eight, goes down to one. According to Beis Hillel, starts with one and goes to eight. But it's only one menorah. The Rambam says, no, this is a progression. So remember again, what's the Ikar Mitzvah? The Ikar Mitzvah is one candle per household. What's Mahadrin? One candle per person. What's Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? That every person lights, according to Beis Shammai, 8 to 1, and according to Beis Hillel, 1 to 8. So fundamental machlokes between Tosas and the Rambam as to what Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is. Is Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin 1 to 8, 8 to 1, but only one menorah per household? That's Tosas, you can see it. Or is Mahadra Minah Mahadrin every person lighting their own menorah 1 to 8, 8 to 1? That's the Rambam. Good. Amr Ula. Pligi bat shema Rebbe Ma'arava. So we'll say, so now we're going to get into the respective reasoning for both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So what's their reasoning? It's a machlokes amaroim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida, Chad Amar, time of the Beis Shammai Kenegi Gam HaNechnosim. So one opinion said that Beis Shammai's logic is corresponding to the number of days that are still ahead of you. So I saw on the first night, you light 8 candles because you have 8 days of Chanukah ahead of you. Seventh day, you light 7 candles, so it corresponds to the number of incoming days. The Gemara says, the time of the Beis Hillel, Kenegi Yom HaYotzin. And Beis Hillel, on the other hand, holds, you go 1 to 8, corresponding to the number of days that have elapsed. We'll say it's interesting, also like Hashkafic debate, like in terms of how you go ahead and you look at the passage of time. Do you look at the passage of time based on what is ahead of you, or do you look at the passage of time based on what is behind you? So Beis Shammai says, count time based on what is ahead. Beis Hillel says, count time based on what has elapsed. Other opinions, the Chador on time of the Beis Shammai, Kineged Pari Achag. Others say Beis Shammai's logic actually comes from the offerings of Sukkis. So we know that by Sukkis, so we offer a total of 70 bulls, right? So the way that works is you start with a larger number and work your way down to a smaller number. Lav Dafka, that there's such a connection between Sukkis and Chanukah, is just that when Beis Shammai is trying to create the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, he wants to find an already existing construct. So by Sukkis, we have a construct of large number to smaller number. Therefore, Beis Shammai says, on Chanukah, we go from large number 8 to small number 1. And Beis Hillel will say, Ma'alin bakodesh ve'in moridin. Then in general, when it comes to matters of holiness, we go up in holiness and we do not descend. There were 2 old Jews in Sidon. Echad asak Beis Shammai ve'echad asak dirbei Beis Hillel. So one conducted himself like Beis Shammai, lighting the menorah, first night 8 and working his way down to 1. And the other one went ahead, I'm sorry. And the other one conducted himself like Beis Hillel. Zen nasan tamad dvarav keneged pari achag. So the one who conducted himself like Beis Shammai said that this logic comes from pari achag. It ultimately comes again, just like the karbanos of Sukkis go from a greater number to a smaller number. So to Chanukah will go from a greater number to a smaller number. Zen nasan tamad dvarav demalin bakodesh ve'in moridin. And again, the one who conducted himself like Beis Hillel ultimately said ma'alin bakodesh moridin, that in matters of holiness we go up and we do not go down. So Rabbi said, we know that, of course, halacha lemaisa, we pass in like Beis Hillel. And I'll also mention that we pass in like the Rambam's interpretation of Beis Hillel's Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. So therefore, the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is that Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin is every person lights their own menorah going from 1 to 8. And I will say, ultimately, why? Because halacha lemaisa and hashkafa lemaisa, we always adopt the principle of ma'alin bakodesh ve'ein moridin. We go up in matters of holiness and we never descend. So I'll say, so one more piece. Tan Rabbanan, Ner Chanukah. Mitzvah anicha pesach beisam v'chutz. So I'll say, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah ultimately is what? That you place it outside your doorway. Vim hayadar ba'aliyah, and if you lived in an upper story, so this is actually very interesting. We should spend a moment on this. Maybe we'll stop with this. But the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, is a dinim persumi nisa. We don't appreciate this much because, as we'll see in just a little bit, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah has evolved throughout the ages. But halacha lemaisa, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the essence of Ner Chanukah, is not for the people in the house, it's for the people outside of the house. So therefore, the din of pirsumei nisa mandates that I actually light outside. That's why the Braisa says over here that where do you light Ner Chanukah? Mitzvah nicha pesach beisam mibachutz. You place it at the doorway outside. Outside, in the times of the Gemara where homes often had a chatzar, you wouldn't even place it at the entranceway of your door. Instead, you'd place it at the entranceway of your chatzar, right, of your courtyard, so that the public could be able to see it. Right? We'll stop over here. I want to share with you just a short idea on the parasha, and we'll pick up with this Gemara. I'll send out the Shabbos schedule this morning, Emir Tz Hashem. So to share with you just...